Hello and welcome to the Primary Care Respiratory Society podcast series. I'm Catherine Hickman, Executive Chair of PCRS. Each podcast you will hear insightful topics, interviews, experiences and conversations around a plethora of respiratory themes, as well as actionable tips and strategies for you to use in your day-to-day practices. Thank you for joining us and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Primary Care Respiratory Society podcast series. This is a series of podcasts which are designed to provide good, quick advice so that clinicians working around can help and improve their care without too much hard work. This is for non-members, but members are allowed to listen too. My name's Steve Holmes. I'm a general practitioner down in Somerset, and I'm joined today by Ren. Ren, do you want to say a quick hello?
I will say a very quick hello. Hello, everybody. My name is Ren, and I'm an independent nurse consultant, advanced nurse practitioner, working in Southeast London, but living in Scotland.
Crikey, so that automatically makes people think, hold on, living in Scotland and working in Southeast London.
Yeah.
That's a lot of travel.
It's a long commute. It's a long commute.
But life's like that sometimes. And hopefully what we can do during this time we've got is to talk about some of the very brief advice methods that can help us to be more effective in helping people to stop smoking.
Absolutely.
So what's the point in smoking? No one smokes now, do they?
Oh, a lot of people smoke, Steve. So I think one of the biggest problems that we have at the moment is that people have got a little bit more fixated on vaping and e-cigarettes and all of that kind of stuff. And that's completely understandable. But what we don't want to do is then ignore that population that we have that are still very much smoking cigarettes, you know, inhaling those noxious substances, those carcinogens, all of that kind of thing. Whether they've got respiratory disease, whether they don't, it's a really important thing in primary care that we don't lose sight of and don't lose focus on.
I think it really is, isn't it? And I think one of the things that stands out to me is don't give up on our patients.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of times I hear about people who say, well, it's not really my job anymore. I just deal with end-stage COPD. By that stage, there's no point.
Yeah.
There is a point all the way along. Many people do want to stop, and part of our role is to try to help them. But what are going to be the best ways to do that, or perhaps the worst?
Well, I think one of the things that I hear a lot of now is we're not commissioned to do it. It's not part of our remit anymore. We don't have the time to do it. You know, it's all of those kind of continuous, you know, things that we could say about any condition, couldn't we, to be honest with you? But I think with smoking cessation, you know, if you look at the evidence, there's a really, really good approach that takes, what, a matter of 30 seconds or so, 30, 60 seconds, that we refer to as very brief advice. And I'll just before we go into that, I would just say, you know, this is something that, I mean, you mentioned COPD, you mentioned about those sort of end stage respiratory conditions and things. But I was even teaching earlier today and we were talking about asthma and remodeling of airways and inflammation in airways. This is something that if we don't get in there for our younger populations, this is where it comes problematic in later stages. So, you know, as much as we want to look at our populations that are smoking, that have got these conditions, we want to get in there early. And this is where VBA can be a really, really good thing. So, you know, very brief advice, very practical advice, done in a very short period of time.
And I think that's probably one of the most important things. Very brief advice, short period of time. I'm just wondering if anyone listening has 20, 30, 40 minutes to chat about smoking before they check the inhaler technique and the other things. If they have, it'd be really handy because we'd both like to know where they're working and perhaps do that. Although I think probably one of the other things is to think through carefully. A lot of times, and I know that I've been guilty of this in the past, when I used to tell patients all the reasons why they shouldn't smoke and couldn't work out why they didn't want to get involved, that could often take minutes, and it would end up discussing about why the patient couldn't do it, what were the resistors this month, they'd lost a pet, or their job was in threat. So we were really caught. And after about 10 minutes, the patient was unhappy, I was unhappy, and it was a difficult conversation the next time we met up.
And you were getting nowhere.
Yeah. And I might sound a little bit converted, but actually half a minute is much better for me.
Yes.
And I can be quite precise and focused. It's also been much better for patients. And I think the third thing is I'm using an evidence-based intervention that will improve the likelihood of someone quitting. And that's something we can't afford to ignore. It's better than renting.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to say is, as much as we are the Primary Care Respiratory Society, you know, this is something that is absolutely essential for any of your patients. So your diabetics, your patients with hypertension, your patients with cardiovascular disease. We know that patients with those conditions who are smoking are at higher risk of COPD. So even if they don't have COPD at that moment in time that you're seeing them for their diabetic review or their hypertension, if you're not looking at and exploring their smoking and whether or not they're in a place where potentially maybe they could make a cessation attempt, then you're not thinking about this added long-term condition that they might be at risk of in the next 5-10 years.
So I can hear people listening and thinking, oh, come on, just get on with it. Tell us what this VBA is all about then. We're not going to be just sitting around listening to you guys chatting. We want the substance of what's happening. So, Ren, do you want to just quickly talk through what are the steps of VBA, and then we can discuss that in a little bit more detail?
Okay, so the overview is three things: ask, advise, act. Now, in theory, the ask, a lot of people think, okay, well, ask someone if they want to give up. But the ask with VBA is just asking and recording their status. Now, the key with this is to ask without judgment. So not to tell them to stop or anything like that. It's just to see where they're at. The other thing with VBA is to ask every patient at every interaction and every opportunity. So even if they've got a recorded status previously as having given up, for example, we know that 70% of smokers will relapse at some point due to life stresses, something that's going on with them, something that's changed. It could be grief, it could be work, it could be all sorts of things. And so we want to recheck, so recheck in at every opportunity. So that would be your ask. Your advice is not to say to them, okay, well, you know, it's bad for you. Perhaps we should try and stop the smoking. All smokers, or at least the vast majority of smokers, know that it's bad for them. They know they should stop, but they know they should. They know it's not good for them. So if you're straight in there is, well, you need to stop, they're just going to stop listening to you because you're telling them something that they know, something that they may have tried to do already. And as clinicians, I'm sure you've had experience with that. Your patient just shuts down. And that's not an ideal place that we want to be in. Your action then is very much going to depend on the response from the advice. So let's have a little bit of a closer look at that.
So the asking, what sort of phrase do you use? I tend to just say, so, are you smoking? And if they say, yes, I say, thanks for letting me know that. I occasionally ask them how many, but I don't go into any more detail.
Absolutely. So the question around are you smoking could be, are you smoking? Are you still smoking? I can see here that you used to smoke, but the last time we caught up or the last time we saw you, you'd given up. Have you managed to maintain that? So the question of ask can change depending on the patient, depending on what you already know about that person. The key around this is you don't need to ask them how much they're smoking. Not really, because even one or two cigarettes, we still want to give them the same advice. So in terms of VBA, in very brief advice, we want to be advising them that even one or two cigarettes is not ideal. is what we would help them to maybe cease doing, to stop doing. The other thing around ask is, what are they smoking? So although you may be thinking, okay, well, I don't feel comfortable with that, and lots of people don't feel comfortable about what are you smoking, the idea is just to start that conversation. So if you say, are you smoking? Your patient may say no, and you could say anything at all, not just cigarettes, anything at all. Is there anything you smoke at all? Just to give them that platform or that space to say, well, okay, I don't smoke cigarettes, but maybe they smoke shisha or cannabis or something like that. You don't have to verbalize it. You're just demonstrating to them that you're not just asking about cigarettes.
And it's surprising, that doesn't cause a lot of antagonism usually, does it, at all?
No.
Just quite nice and factual. So yeah. We've asked, they've said yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to act, but we've got to advise first, haven't we?
Well, so what do you feel, Steve, that your next approach would be, or what's your next approach?
So my next approach usually is just to be fairly open and say, you know, the best way to quit is with professional support and some of the medications available, or what we know in the evidence is the best way is with some of the medications and professional help and support. Yep. Lots of people have tried before. Professional help and medications are the best way that we have for people to be successful. I want you to be successful. It's variations on that theme. Is that what you use, or?
So for me, I like to explore obviously where they're at. So you will have some patients, obviously, who as soon as you say pharmacotherapy, for example, they'll go, absolutely not. And, you know, obviously using the terminology pharmacotherapy is not the best thing. Nicotine replacement therapy, you know, we've got medications that can help reduce your cravings, that kind of stuff. When you'll then have another section of people who, when you talk about counselling, or talking to someone, they might kind of go, oh my goodness, absolutely not. No, I can't do that. And then you'll have people who are kind of open to both. So I think at that point, it really is a kind of case of determining, you know, what they might feel comfortable with and working with that. And then, you know, working out or exploring with them what they might feel uncomfortable about in terms of the strategy that they don't choose.
And finally, we need to act.
Yes. So finally, we need to act. So again, as I said, we are completely aware of the fact that there's lots of defunding. There's lots of practices that don't have the funding or the time or for whatever reason to provide that kind of therapy or pharmacotherapy themselves. So the acting is about signposting. And it's about thinking, okay, well, where in my locality can I signpost these patients? Is there local pharmacists? Is there nothing around in my area? Do I need to consider signposting towards NHS Smoke Free, for example, helplines, websites, and those kind of things? But I think the most important thing is to consider, you know, the most local things to you. So that's something as a clinician you need to be aware of in terms of, you know, what you're able to do locally.
And that might be a really useful thing for people just to be very clear about. Perhaps more complex if you move between different zones, but certainly if you're in one healthcare community, you should know your local providers for smoking cessation services. You should know their how to get them online. You should know what their telephone number is. Hopefully you've got a little card to hand out if you hand out cards, or you can use an Accurix link to put that over to them. I know in hospitals there may be inpatient services that can come in and out and provide help, but you need to make sure that's coordinated. And I guess that's probably the trick here is my bit on the act is here's an offer. You can get more information about the services, the professional support, the medicines that will help you to be more effectively quitting, and it will answer some of your questions. Have a chat with them. Take it forward.
Yes. And I would say the other thing about that is if you're sitting in the advise point and they're hovering, or they're on the fence, or they just kind of go, okay, well, yeah, I think obviously it makes sense, and I think it would be a good idea, and I know I need to stop smoking, and I'm not sure about it, you know, then saying to them, you know, okay, would you like to speak to me again about this? And rebooking them in a brief appointment or a routine appointment. If they're not ready to go and explore external services or secondary care services or NHS smoke free or anything like that, but they feel comfortable for the first time speaking to you about their smoking, then giving them that time as a second appointment. And that doesn't mean that you give them a third and a fourth and a all of those kind of things, but you know, maybe they need to go away, and you can give them some information from Patient UK or, you know, Lung and Asthma UK, and that might be enough for them to go home and have a think about it.
And I think one of the things that I've noticed quite a bit is the patients who say to me, it's not the right time at the moment, my act on that part is, that's okay.
Yeah.
I probably want to ask again at another point. I hope you don't mind that, because it is very important for you. But no pressure. Yeah. You've got the information if you need it.
100%.
Move on.
And sorry to interrupt you, Steve, but that's absolutely spot on. And that's what we come back to when we say ask at every single time you see them, every appointment, every interaction, because you don't know what's happened in between.
And I think one of the nicest things is you'll suddenly start finding patients who you gave that advice to, they said, no, it's not right time for me, coming back with a big smile on their face 6 months, a year later, saying, I noticed what you said. I went and did that, and it really worked this time for me. So yeah, Don't give up. That's probably covered our time on this podcast. So, Ren, it's been really lovely chatting to you.
Hopefully
that's been a useful podcast series for you. There are many more of these available for non-members, and loads more, of course, for members of PCRS. Have a look on the website. Lots of other information there that you should find useful. Thank you very much for listening, and speak again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you know somebody that may be interested in this podcast that is yet to become a member of PCRS, please direct them to the PCRS website and take the first step to inspiring more respiratory leaders.